This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped in the hadith looking at forgiveness or the moral value of the individual being kind and forgiving and overlooking towards other individuals, whether they be non-Muslims or they be Muslims. This is a trait and a value that maybe some of us have forgotten or failed to understand its intent. Forgiveness and overlooking stems from one's belief with the intent that when I pardon and I forgive another individual, that this will earn me the pardoning and the forgiveness and the overlooking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find numerous traditions and narrations speaking about this, that Allah has more right to forgive or to pardon, overlook an individual. And this within the individual all stems from that this will earn me the favour or the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the deep, intricate nature of the human being. That the actions that we do should be tuned within ourselves to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as today's hadith speaks about those individuals who earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they do certain actions to help one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we find this hadith Qudsi, that we find إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِي. Allah will say on the Day of Judgment, where are those individuals who love one another for my sake, for my glory, for my honour? Where are these individuals who have this mutual relationship between themselves only for my sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? الْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّي. I will place them underneath the shade, whereby there will be no shade except for my shade, the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hadith inside the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. Another similar hadith that we find, قال الله المتحابون في جلالي لهم منابر من نور. Those individuals who love one another for my sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be placed upon pulpits, upon minarets of nur, of light. That they will be outshining. They will be in a lofty platform, visible by every single individual. يَغْبِتُهُمْ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَى. That even the prophets and the martyrs will aspire to be like these individuals. The hadith inside the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi. Here we find that no one can compete with the shuhada and the prophets. But min babi targhib, of encouragement, such a marked preference will be given to those individuals who share a mutual love, a mutual cooperation amongst themselves, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for this dunya, a worldly gain or worldly benefit. And that's before we speak about this brotherly love that Muslims should have towards another Muslim. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. Doesn't oppress him, doesn't forsake him, doesn't cheat to him, doesn't lie to him, doesn't take away his honour. Before we speak about these rights, that all of us need to refresh ourselves about what a fellow Muslim, what they deserve from us. You find the haqqul Muslim, sittun. You find the rights of a Muslim are six that belong to ba'di rawayat. You find khamsa ba'd sab'a, that you find seven, five, six rights, numerous rights that belong to the Muslim that need to be fulfilled. But before we talk about these rights and this brotherly love that we find, love stems, as we began with, firstly, to understand the Creator. Then a person can begin to understand the relationship with the creation. That's the Quran has numerous ayat inside the Quran speaking about love towards awalan subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mahabba Anwa'un. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali speaks, or Imam al-Fudayl ibn Iyad speaks about Anwa'un Mahabba, about various forms of love that we find that exist inside this small vessel, this small flesh of the human being. such a small piece of flesh, but it has so many different elements of love. Love towards one's spouse, one's children, one's parents, one's family members, towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, towards Allah and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the heart can dissect in so many ways of sharing various elements of love inside the heart. None of them contradict one another. But the powering force in the heart of the individual that needs to flow through the heart and the whole bodily system is primarily the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the Quran. When it begins by speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you find, the first complete surah that's been sent down is Surah Al-Fatiha, the Sab'ul Mathani, the seven oft-repeated verses that we recite at least 17 times a day. And likewise, as Surah Al-Hijr mentioned, we've given you the seven oft-repeated verses, and we've given you the magnificent Qur'an. This is what was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. What is Surah Al-Fatiha? Min al-bidayah ila nihayah is nothing but speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instilling glorification, magnificence, ibadah, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that shows the straight path, establishes the person's straight path, sends people away from the straight path, speaks about those people who deviate from the straight path. Or hatta you find the final verses, we'll just speak about these individuals, how they made their various ghulu of mahabbah, their various formats of love, where al-Yahud went to one understanding. Nahnu ahibba'ullahi wa abna'uhu. We are the chosen children of God. We're selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves us. So we do whatever we want to do. When Nasara, their mahabbah becomes just love, just full of love, do whatever you want to do. Ya'buduna Allah ala dalala, ala jahl. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ignorance, upon emotional feeling. That's how they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Quran begins. And inside Surah Al-Fatiha, as Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions, the whole of the Quran is summarized inside Surah Al-Fatiha. The whole of the Quran just flows from Surah Al-Fatiha. And from one verse inside Surah Al-Fatiha, the whole of the world, the whole of the essence of creation, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the human being and the jinn, إِلَّا لِيُوَحِّدُونَ. To only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worship. Inside Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st chapter, verse number 56. That is why Allah created the heavens and the earth. Is in response similar to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's it. That's why he wrote a whole magnanimous work on one ayah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, one verse says summarizes the whole of this world. Summarizes the human being, summarizes the intent. وَحَتَّى آخِرُ الْقُرْآنِ. If you reflect on the Quran and travel all the way to the end of the Quran, you come to Surah An-Nas. Surah An-Nas is nothing less but Tawheed as well. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Speaking once again of the glorification, that He is the Lord of all of the worlds, of all human beings. That you find أول أمر في القرآن. The first commandment inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Baqarah, that you find, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu Allah rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Lord. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created you, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَبْتَقُونَ. Who created you and those that existed before you, that you may become observant, focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find all amr fil Quran, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. خِطَاب لِجَمِيعِ النَّاسِ. Addressing all of the worlds, all of the human beings, worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the strangest thing, if you study Surah Al-Baqarah, anna Surah Al-Baqarah kullu taqriban tawheed. That's what Surah Al-Baqarah is, these 286 verses, Medinan Surah that we find. Study in great detail, because even ahkam is nothing but tawheed, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout this surah, hatta you find hawali khamsa mawadi' in Surah Al-Baqarah, speaking about Al-Ba'th wa Al-Nushur, about resurrection, about returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the person needs to employ their life with a relationship to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person understands the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees key elements inside there that awaken the individual. And that's going back to the theme of love inside the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ومن الناس. Amongst people, you find some people who worship human beings, worship other identities, entities. Worship them that they should worship, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find the elements of the heart. A person may physically present themselves in a certain manner. ولكن في قلبي خوف من الناس. You find this fear inside their heart regarding people. يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله. They fear people. They don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how physical their strength and their bodily image may be, and their display may be, even a disguise of spirituality it may be, but inside their hearts, you find weakness, you find a cavity, you find this cowardice within themselves, that they fear people, that they fear them more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe in Allah, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a more severe love and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is first place inside the Quran speaking about mahabbatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can pick every single surah to pick out verses that magnify devotion and commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naqif inda surah Ali Imran, the third chapter, verse number 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. You claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Jews claim. That's what the Christians claim. That's what even today Muslims claim. Muslims say that, you know, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows that I love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows that I obey Him in my own way. This concept of I worship Allah in my own way, I obey Allah in my own way, in my own manner, in my own spirituality. So thus you find that one person can just wake up in the morning and just clasp their hands and say, this is me remembering Allah. One person could spend £1,000 and say, this is me remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will forgive me. One person can then remove whatever they want to remove, do whatever they want to do, and say, this is me remembering Allah. Allah knows He's Ghafoor Raheem. Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't based upon whims and desires and personal intuitions and feelings and what you think life is and what you think is ibadatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described ibadatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created the heavens and the earth, and He laid out parameters. He laid out hudud. He laid out principles. He laid out certain actions that you need to do. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. You claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make ittiba' Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your claim. This is a claim that you make. You know, don't want to sound derogatory. There's going to be millions who are going to speak about their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speak about their empty slogans about love towards the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. They may be truthful in their love. We don't question that. But how is your love supposed to be really displayed? Is it dismantling His Sharia? Is it dismantling His practices? Is it doing whatever you seem to be fit? Is it your own methodology, your own mantiq, your own brain, your own mindset that Christians celebrate the birthday of Jesus? So we have more right to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have more right to do that because they do it, we should do that. We don't imitate al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. That's not what our deen is, imitation. Wherever their law runs in correspondence, or muhaymin and alay, runs in correspondence with the Quran and the Sunnah, then we accept it. Other than that, why don't we do everything else that these people do? Just because they begin to praise Isa alayhi salam in this manner, give him his due right. That's not the logic that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we make reverence to the prophets. فَاتَّبِعُونِي, make ittiba' Rasul. Then in return, what will happen? Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. This verse Imam al-Wahidi in his kitab Asbab al-Nuzul mentions أَنَّ هَذِي الْآيَةِ آيَةُ الْإِخْتِبَارُ آيَةُ الْإِمْتِحَانِ. This verse is a verse of testing your faith. The test. That's what this verse is. Surah Ali Imran, verse number 31. To test your faith. You really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I exert myself in my life to obey the Prophet ﷺ inside my life. Not just externally, some of us may chant, but internally as well. That do we, inside ourselves, reflection that we need to make inside our life. But these are sometimes sunnah that we find some of us have forgotten inside our lives. Happiness, sadness, anger, anxiety, being worried. Tune your mind and your heart. That how would the Prophet ﷺ react towards this? How would he behave? Not just life becomes external, sunnah are beautiful, are excellent. That we should adorn ourselves. But we shouldn't condense the whole of our life. That this just becomes the benchmark. And a person displays themselves in this manner, this must be a person on the sunnah. وَلَكِ مِنْ بَابِ الصَّبْرِ مَا تَتَحَمَّلْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ. When it comes to patience, you can't bear anything. When it comes to kindness, you can't show any kindness. When it comes to forgiveness, you can't deliver any forgiveness. When it comes to charity, you can't give any charity. So what sunnah are we following inside our lives? How are we trying to change ourselves? And then the journey continues inside the Quran. Inside Surah An-Nisa, there are numerous ayat that we find speaking. Not about love on this occasion, but this opposite that we find. About those things that Allah does not love, does not like. And that's what many ulama have concluded, selected. Look at whenever inside the Quran. Inna Allah yuhibbu. Allah loves such and such. Or inna Allah la yuhibbu. Allah does not love. Come and study these ayat, these verses. To see that these are the things that Allah likes. He loves. Am I doing them inside my life? These are the things that Allah dislikes. So I need to stay away from these to become a better Muslim, a better obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's if I numerous ayat inside speak about that which Allah does not love. Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana mukhtalan fakhura. Now all these ayat inside Surah An-Nisa that we find, Allah doesn't love any boastful, arrogant individual, pompous individual. Allah doesn't love people who boast, who pretend to be almighty and powerful, arrogant towards people, speak lowly towards other individuals. Allah doesn't like such individuals. Likewise, Allah mentioned, Inna Allah la yuhibbu man kana khawanan athima. Allah doesn't like those individuals, treacherous, continuously treacherous individuals. Allah doesn't like such individuals. And likewise, you find then Allah mentioned, La yuhibbu Allah jahra bisu'i min al-qawli illa man bulim. Allah doesn't like evil speech, vulgar speech. So we need to go and study these ayat inside the Quran, what Allah likes and what Allah does not like. Then eventually find inside Surah Al-Ma'idah once again, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِي فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Oh, you believe, whoever amongst you abandons his faith. You know, this is what the world that we live in. We think that we're doing some great, magnificent service of Islam. We think that Islam is only certain people. This is the strangest thing. Islam is more than 1 billion in number. Allah will always wipe out, bring out people who show obedience. That's the warning inside this verse. Whoever amongst you abandons their faith, doesn't adopt their faith, doesn't hold fast to their faith, Allah will bring out a new people. And the characteristics of these individuals that you find, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will love them and they love Allah. That's the awwal sifa لِهَؤُلَاءِ. That Allah will love these individuals. We think that we're the ones that only ones that love Allah. Allah loves us. There will be people out there that Allah will bring forth, who will raise the symbol of Islam. And it's happened historically, that outside the precincts of Mecca and Medina for many centuries, you find people who are non-Arabs who lifted the symbol of Islam, who had fasted teaching of Islam. Allah glorified them. A people, a nation who had no language, no culture, no thaqafa. Total unknown individuals. But when Islam entered into their life and into their mind, what happened? Allah raised them, gave them that rank, gave them that honor. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَ تَلَائِمٍ. Carry on reading sifat inside the Quran. Because you know how sifat are muddled up. It's a muddled up world that we find. The real individuals who love Allah, and Allah loves them, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are humbling, kind, generous, noble towards the believers. وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Literally, lower the wings of humility, submission towards the believing individuals. And thus we find that a person should not condemn Muslims, person should be one there who's lenient and loving towards the Muslims that we find care and concern towards them. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbuk wa hubbu man yuhibbuk. Supplication of the Prophet alayhi salam that we find, Allah asks you for your love. And I ask you to grant me love for whoever loves you. And Allah in general loves whom? Al-masakeen wa-du'afa. The weak, the poor, downtrodden individuals. Ask Allah, I want your love, O Allah. And I want the love of those individuals who love you. I want to be with those individuals who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we find in the second part of the hadith. Al-yawma udhillum fi dhilli, yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. This day I will shade it whereby there's no shade, except for my shade, the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is similar to the hadith of seven types of individuals who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there will be no shade. Go and study this hadith. It's al-Bukhari and Muslim. Likewise, it's al-Riyadh al-Salihin. Read the explanation of this hadith by Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi ala aqal, at least. If you want a more expansive reading, then this hadith written by one of the scholars of Misr in two volumes. Two volumes, approximately 300 pages each, speaking about this one hadith. About seven types of individuals who will be under the shade of Allah, whereby there will be no shade. Amongst them we find, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَ فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two individuals who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who got together only for the sake of Allah, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَفْتَرَقَ عَلَيْهِ. And they departed upon that. No worldly gain, no worldly intent, no exchange of gifts or prizes or money, whatever it may be. They got together. They met, they meet in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exchange greetings, love and devotion, and they separate upon that. Those Muslims have such a devotion, commitment towards another Muslim, will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby there will be no other shade. Remember, this world is a materialistic world that we find, surrounded by materialistic concepts of why we help other individuals. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim that we find, a very strange hadith to awaken us about how a Muslim should care about another individual that we find. A man visited his brother in another town. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to go and follow this individual. And so when this individual, paraphrase the hadith, visited this individual, the angel asked this individual, or before that, where are you heading? He said, I'm heading to go and visit my brother. Is there any need that you have from this individual? Is there any reason, purpose why you want to visit this individual? I only love this individual for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to go and visit, ask about this individual, find out about this individual. So when this is relayed back, the angel says, I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell you that Allah loves you as you love this individual for his sake. Hadith is such a Muslim. Allah loves you simply for you just going and visiting this individual. No worldly intent. Other narrations that we find speak about 70,000 angels, even though some ulama classify them as weak. But the weakness is not so strong. But how we can mention them in general? That 70,000 angels pray for that individual who goes and visits another individual, maybe a sick individual, or visits another individual for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the person wants to be with these individuals. In the hadith Qudsi that we find, that I was sick and you never visited me. The person says, how can you be sick? Wa anta rabbul alameen. That you are the Lord of the worlds. How is that possible? Ama arafta. Didn't you know that such and such abdi fulan kana maridun? Such a servant of mine was sick. If you had visited him, you would have found me there. Meaning what? The ajr, the reward, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going there to visit such an individual. And that's this mutual love that we find. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A man will be with whomever he loves. If you love the pomp and the glory, simple. We don't need theology. We don't need rhetoric. We don't need speech. We don't need beautiful, whatever it may be. If you love to be with them, you love to live with them, you love to mix with them, you love to be inside their company, then al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Simple. A man will be with whomever he loves. When a person dies among such a surrounding and being inside that surrounding, then may Allah pardon such individuals. Because you find that a person is whatever they died upon, whatever they surrounded themselves upon. Because a person will be resurrected upon that. Whatever you find, that's what you find strange hadith, that a person at the end of their life goes to Jahannam. How's that person, a person who's lived inside a Muslim environment, in a Muslim upbringing, that at the end ulama, Shaykh Taymin begins to discuss this hadith. How? How is that possible? لِأَنَّ فِي دَاخِ الْقَلْبِ كَانَ شَيْءٍ. Even they surround themselves in a Muslim environment, deep down inside their heart, they're not content. They don't want to be there. They're not happy to be there. They want to find some way out. And when they're given the opportunity, they will come out. And they will go somewhere else. And thus you find that, don't find it strange. Fuqaha have spoken about modern day things that we find that some people don't want to speak about. As-safar lil-muharramat, as-safar fi Ramadan, leaving a Muslim environment to go and conduct haram, leaving a Muslim environment in the month of Ramadan for what intent? Lis-siyaha, tourism. You have 11 months to tour in the world. Why are you touring in Ramadan? What's your intent to leave a Muslim environment inside Ramadan to go out for what purpose? What's your intent to come to these environments? What is your intent? What do you want to gain from? What's so special of coming to these environments? You find thousands will flock to see what, to do what. We shouldn't hide away from the fact. It is to be loved in an environment, to be in an environment you feel is conducive to your life, conducive to your heart, or you feel that's a life which is a better life. That possibly, may Allah forbid, you haven't really found the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find that these individuals who want this mutual love, then they'll share that love inside Al-Jannah. They'll be placed together, because a human being is a social creation. You know, sometimes we try to make Jannah is only specific to certain people. No. Jannah was made as a social gathering. It was made as a social gathering for people to reside and to live there. Adam alayhi salam had everything in Jannah. He had everything in Jannah. Some of us think that if I was in Jannah, and we pray that we all make it to Jannah, and that's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someday we will eventually get to Jannah. But we want the fastest track to Jannah. That if I had everything in Jannah, I wouldn't feel lonely. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَاللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah know what He's created? Adam alayhi salam had everything. But what did he lack? Companionship, love, harmony, friendship, spouse, companion. So Allah created Hawa alayhi salam from the rib of Adam alayhi salam to reside with him. Everything in Jannah was there. The human being is a social creature. Let's not break up social elements that it's only me going to Jannah, or my cliche, or my people go to Jannah. That Jannah is for every Muslim. That's the essence. Thus we find, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِ مِنْ غِلٍّ إِخْوَانٌ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. You know, when you go to Jannah, people always pose this question, there might be an element of hatred, disliking, or ill feelings, rancor we have as human beings on this earth. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قَلْبٍ مِنْ غِلٍّ. غِلٍّ is the rancor, the ill feeling. It will be plucked out the hearts of human beings. So when you come into Jannah, hearts will be pure hearts. Pure hearts residing together. No ill feeling towards another individual. Thus you find that a person, whoever you rejoice with in this world, you want to rejoice with them inside the Akhirah. Returning back to the brotherly love that we find, basic elementary hadith that we find, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. وفي بعض الروايات that we find من الخير, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. These are basic elementary hadith that we find. And as we mentioned, that a hadith in general are generic. The Quran is generic. It speaks about a Muslim towards another Muslim, a believer towards another believer that we find. It's all generic. It doesn't codify that it's a certain specific individual. That this Muslim give him salam, this Muslim don't give this Muslim salam. This Muslim give them charity, this Muslim don't give them charity. It doesn't discuss that. It's all a generic terminology inside the Quran. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ وَفِي آيَةٍ أُخْرَى وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. That I am your Lord. So worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this we find min al-khayr of goodness. La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you truly believes. Doesn't have that love until you don't what you want for yourself. What you love for yourself, you want your brother to share inside that. And some ulama have gone to an even deeper conviction, understanding is from this hadith or extracted. And yakuna afdal minka. You want this individual to be better than you. That's maybe something that may have slipped our minds and our hearts. You want the person to excel you, to go beyond you. Life isn't about control. Life isn't about keeping people below you. Life for a Muslim is about flourishing. That other people may hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may flourish, may come with more ibadah, more good deeds, more good actions. وَلَكَ جُزْ مِنْهَا. You'll have a good share that will be given to you inside the akhirah. That's what a person wants to do, spread the khayr, spread the goodness. That's what love is towards another Muslim, towards another individual that we find. So we should show and display this love. Display this love towards one another, affection, mercy and affection. Towards our family members, towards our children, towards the people around us, towards the Muslim ummah around us that we find. Show, deliver this affection, this love. And develop a concern. Because we find that as we know that more and more Islamophobic attacks or Islamic speech that we find against Islam, that we find there's various organizations out there. Maybe we're not doing a good job in certain things, but there's organizations who are responding to that call. The various challenges as a community that we live in, whether it be education, whether it be crime, whether it be terrorism, whatever it may be, there's organizations who give a rebuttal, who give a response to the government or people around. We should support these causes. Not, we shouldn't stay away and think, oh, my voice has no voice, or we should just stay quiet about it. These are concerns. Some of these people come out because of a concern. Concern for other Muslims, concern for their brethren. That I don't want them to face hardship. I don't want them to face difficulty. Even simple things around in our community. The 55 odd masajid that we have inside Newham. Most of these mosques have been established by people who barely speak English, who barely understood the law. But yet look how fruitful, how free we are. We're ever at our leisure to stop and to pray and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a blessing that is. And we should look in retrospective. What do we do? What are we now doing as 21st modern so-called Muslims living in this environment? What are we doing to protect our identity? Protect our children, protect our Islamic culture, protect the people around. What are we doing? Are we living in a cocoon world, in a balloon world? That as long as I rescue myself, save myself, then, well, it doesn't matter what else takes place in the community around us. We are here, numbering close to maybe 2 million living inside this environment. Not everyone's going to perform hijrah. Not everyone's going to leave this country. The massive portion of people are going to remain here. So we have to begin to become active in protecting our identity, protecting our children, protecting our faith, calling out for a faith of protection. A certain degree we can openly and with great relaxation worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grow up in an environment that is fruitful. And as we find in conclusion, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to share love and mutual love and affection to whether it be the global causes of the Muslim ummah that we find, or the causes around us, or the personal causes that we have within our own family members and our loved ones that we have. Because remember that day, al-akhillau yawma'idin ba'dum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. Al-akhillau. Brothers on that day will be enemies towards one another. Whether it be blood brothers, or whatever it may be. Except for whom? Illa al-muttaqeen. Except for if your mutual love has been piety and obedience, then on that day you will be gathered together. That's what the Muslim Ummah is a global concern. To help all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us to be with the believing individuals. To be amongst those individuals that we find. That those who say regarding the brethren that preceded them, that do not place any rancor, any ill feeling inside their hearts regarding those individuals of faith who preceded us. That's what a Muslim is. And a Muslim leaves this dunya, we should bear this in mind. No matter what they may have done, you find a person should pray for them. Ask for their forgiveness. Because now this person, their affair is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's elements of clear belief and corruption a person needs to highlight, فَلَا حَرَجْ فِي ذَلِكَ. ask her to go beyond the limits. Person who died left this dunya. فَهُوَ فِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ يُعَذِّبُهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ يَغْفِرْ لَهُ. He's gone to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, He can punish him. And if Allah wants, Allah can forgive him. Because only Allah knows that there may be a good deed this person done, or some good deeds this person done, or the intent that they had, or the environment they lived in. That they done something, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that action, that individual, and wiped it out. That's not for us to judge. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that a person should be careful about their life, careful about the people. As we find numerous narrations that speak about even a handful of people, that whenever a person leaves this dunya, if you join that prayer with that sincere intent of ikhlas, that may Allah pardon and forgive them. Think about the riwayat, you find 100 people that pray sincerely. Think about the riwayat, you find 40, some you find 10, sometimes you find, even 3. If they sincerely pray for that dead individual, then that intercession, that dua, is accepted for that individual. And you know, if the person is a living individual, then Allah places an angel at the head of that individual. And whatever you pray for your brother, then Allah, the angel says, for you be exactly the same. So why should we be so miserly? That if you pray and you speak well and encourage another individual, you make dua to another, about another individual, then an angel is standing in your head responding and give this individual exactly the same. And that's how Muslims should be, love and compassion towards the people around them. May Allah kind of grant that to all of us, and primarily fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then obedience and love towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.